Today has been designated by the United States Bishop as the day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. Normally it would be on January 22nd, but when that falls on a Sunday, this day is moved to Monday. So today is a day of prayer, a day of reparation, a day of penance. That's why we wear the purple vestments. You thought you wouldn't see these again till Lent or Advent. But violet, purple, is a color of penance. And so today we do penance as a nation for the sins against the sanctity of human life, namely abortion. But yesterday I talked a great deal at all my masses about the pro-life movement and how many children have had their lives lost since 1973. About 50 million, and that's just from the surgical abortions. That wouldn't even include all of the silent chemical abortions from things such as the pill and many other abortifacients. But I wanted to talk today just for a few moments about how do you talk to those who do not have our same beliefs? What can we say to try to convert their hearts? Because a lot of times you'll meet people and they say that they are pro-choice, right? See, the word choice is actually, you know, Americans love choice, right? You go to the grocery store and you can have your Captain Crunch or your Raisin Bran or your Fruit Loops. People love to have choices. They love to be able to buy different kinds of jeans, different kinds of jewelry. People love choice. And unfortunately, the pro-abortion people have taken that good word and have taken it for themselves. So what you want to do when we talk to those that are pro-choice is say, well, what do you mean by choice? And then you walk them through. What they're actually saying is that they are pro-murder of an innocent, defenseless human being. So they should not be allowed to use that euphemism, pro-choice, because what they're saying is that they want to be able to choose death. They want to be able to choose murder. They want to be able to kill a defenseless, helpless, unborn human being. So try, when you're talking to people, to try to get that across, to talk to them exactly what does that word choice mean. Sometimes you'll meet people that will say, well, abortion is legal, therefore it must be okay. It must be moral. Well, the response to that is, well, at one time in our country, slavery was legal. Does that mean it was right? Does that mean it was moral? Does that mean it was good? Of course not. Just because something is legal doesn't mean it's right or moral. And so then you have to walk them through the fact that, thanks be to God, the nation eventually woke up and did away with the legalization of slavery. And hopefully our nation will wake up one day and do away with the legalized killing of unborn children. Sometimes you'll meet people that are very big into animal rights. You hear that a lot, don't you? You know, animal rights. At the end of a movie, it says, no animals were harmed during the filming of this movie. But everybody's so concerned about animal rights. The baby whales in Alaska, or let's say the spotted owl in California. And my understanding is that there are severe fines of thousands of dollars, maybe even years in prison for hurting, let's say, an animal, an endangered species. Well, what is more valuable? We have laws protecting baby animals. Why not laws protecting baby humans? And we're all in agreement with this, I know, because we're all together. So, you know, when you go to the circus, most of the time you'll see protesters outside the circus holding up their signs because they don't like the way that the elephants are treated or maybe the tigers are treated. When you go up and talk to them, it's fun to do this. You can say, well, you know, I admire your zeal here to protect the rights of animals. Well, I'm sure that you're against abortion as well, right? And see what they say. It's fun to do that. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, we're in favor of abortion. And yet they're out there trying to make sure that animals are not treated with cruelty. Well, the ultimate child abuse is abortion. And the ultimate abuse of these unborn children is abortion. So, again, it's good to try to just logically talk to those who don't have our same understanding. Sometimes they say, well, we don't want the government to impose their morality on us, right? And yet, the government has to protect the common good. That's why countries have laws that you can't go in and rob a bank. You can't walk down the street and shoot somebody. You can't rape somebody. You can't... in fact, when you drive your car, they enforce that you have to wear a seatbelt. So the government is trying to, in certain respects, protect the good of society. Well, why not protect innocent, unborn human life? And sometimes you'll hear the people say, well, I believe that a woman has a right to do whatever she wants with her own body. Because you'll hear women say that. You know, keep the church out of my my own decision-making on what I want to do, a woman says, with my own body. Well, of course, if a woman wants to go to the hairdresser and change her hair color from brown to blonde or from, you know, blonde to red, she has that ability. She has the freedom to do what she wants with her own body. If she wants to get contact lenses or whatever, that's fine. But logically, then explain to them that when a human life is in her womb, that's not her own body. That is a separate body with a separate heartbeat, with a separate blood type perhaps. If she's a woman, she might be carrying a little boy within her womb. It's not her own body. It's a separate human being that needs to be protected by the Lord and by our laws. And so then sometimes you'll meet people that say, well, I'm against abortion except in cases of rape or incest. And so, well, how do you respond to that? Well, what you want to do then is to let them know, yes, a rape or incest is a terrible crime against an innocent human being. But to then kill the baby is an additional crime against another human being. And two wrongs don't make a right. The rape or the incest, that was a terrible wrong, a terrible crime. But then to then add murder of an innocent human life, in addition to that, two wrongs don't make a right. So if a child is conceived in a bad situation through rape or incest, that child still, though, has rights, the right to life. And we should not kill that child. That child could be given up for adoption with all the millions of couples on adoption agency waiting list. And in fact, I've met many women and men that were conceived in a bad way. In fact, we even have saints that were illegitimate or conceived in this manner, and they became saints. So every human life is precious, it's sacred, whether it be conceived in love, in marriage, which we hope it would, but if it's conceived in an immoral way, the child is still sacred, the child is still good, the child is still made in the image and likeness of God. So again, those are just some of the ways that we try to respond when we hear these objections that people have. And lastly, I would just say, a great person to bring up and talk about whenever we're in this conversation is Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Some of you listened to his CD. In fact, we had it outside, but everybody has taken it. We'll have to order some more. We'll get Ted to order some more of Dr. Bernard Nathanson's conversion testimony. Just very briefly, he tells a story of how in the early 70s, he was one of the leaders of the abortion movement. He helped to found NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. He's one of the founders of that. And he operated the largest abortion clinic in New York City. He personally oversaw 60,000 abortions. He even aborted a few of his own children as well during that time period, which he deeply regretted later on, of course, as well as those 60,000 that his clinic did during the time that he was in charge of it. Well, through modern technology and modern science, things like the sonogram, and being able to see the unborn child, he had a conversion, and he realized it was a human life. And so he produced this documentary called The Silent Scream. I think many of you have seen it. It's a very powerful documentary about a fetal pain and what the child tries to do to avoid, you know, being killed in the womb. And so this, he had a dramatic conversion, but he was still a Jewish atheist all this time as a medical doctor. But thanks be to God, through meeting some wonderful priests, Cardinal O'Connor, Father C.J. McCluskey of Opus Dei, they were able to be brought into the faith. And when he realized that with God's grace and God's mercy, he could get baptized, he could then receive God's forgiveness and God's mercy. He had a dramatic conversion experience. He got baptized in St. Patrick's Cathedral by Cardinal O'Connor. And for the rest of his life then, he spent working in the pro-life movement, going all over the world giving his testimony and probably saving hundreds of thousands of lives. He was a Saul of Tarsus that became a St. Paul, the Apostle. So there's always hope. And that's why we offer this Mass today. We go to the March. We pray the Rosary. We do these things to try to offer reparation and then to pray for these doctors like Dr. Nathanson that they will have dramatic conversions as well. So we pray for our politicians, the leaders in Washington, the leaders of our government. We pray for judges. We pray for politicians that they will come, that the scales will fall from their eyes just like it did from St. Paul, and that they'll be able to see clearly that these unborn children are truly gifts of God. They're made in God's image and likeness, and they have a dignity as a human person made in the image and likeness of God.